You know, many times we're asking the wrong question. The question is not, what will this cost? The question is not, what will the consequences be? The question is it right?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I was away ministering in Virginia this past weekend before Memorial Day, and I hope you had a blessed Memorial Day, and let me extend my deep appreciation for those Americans who have sacrificed for our country and sacrificed for our liberties and the families of those courageous Americans whose lives we celebrate on Memorial Day. I was ministering in Virginia, and I was reminded of something. I was in my hotel room. I was reflecting on some things in between speaking engagements there, and I was reminded of a very important principle that drives my life. I want to share it with you today on The Line of Fire. I hope it'll bring encouragement and strength to you as well. If you want to get in the conversation, you want to weigh in, you have a comment you'd like to make, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'd also encourage you, if you're on Facebook, to join me at Ask Dr. Brown, S.D.R. Brown on Facebook, where I posted a quote that I'm about to read to you from Dr. Martin Luther King. We also have a very, very special resource to get into as many hands as possible today. I want to talk to you about that shortly as well. But let me tell you what I was reminded about. What paralyzes me, what weakens me, what hinders me is not opposition. And it's not the threat of difficulty. It's not the threat of consequences. It's not the challenge of doing what's right. That doesn't slow me down at all. In fact, opposition for doing what's right invigorates me. Opposition for standing for truth invigorates me. Opposition for going against the grain for the Lord invigorates me. What can slow me down or even paralyze me is uncertainty. That is the major, major issue. If I'm not absolutely 100% sure and convicted, if I am not 100% definitely sure in my spirit about the rightness or wrongness of a cause, or the rightness or wrongness of a doctrine, or the rightness or wrongness of a stand that I'm taking, that can be paralyzing to me. And I have to go to God. I have to wrestle with it. I have to ask deep and serious questions. I have to study out the issues again or look at the scriptures again or pray these things through again. And that's what troubles me. But the realization I had, I've had this before, is that all I need to know is that the cause is right. And I don't care about the cost or the consequence. If I know that I know the cause is right, that's all that matters to me. Settled, done, finished. If I know that I know the cause is right and the Lord is in it, then let come what may come. Let hellish opposition arise. Let every threat manifest itself for the cause of truth and standing against the cause of truth. Doesn't matter. I am energized as long as I know what is right. And I was chewing on that this morning, and in the back of my head, I knew there was a quote. I couldn't place it. It didn't take long searching online to realize it came from Dr. Martin Luther King. Cowardice, he said, asked the question, is it safe? Expediency asked the question, is it politic? Meaning, is it politically wise? Vanity asked the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but one must take it because it is right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listen to what Billy Graham said. Courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened. Can I repeat that? Courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened. Friends, we need courageous leadership in our pulpits today. We need courageous leadership in our homes today. We need courageous leadership in our schools today. We need courageous leadership in the political realm, in every area of our society. We need people, young people, old people, to stand up and do what's right because it is right, regardless of cost or consequence. Jesus said, blessed, truly happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Doing what is right, standing for what is right, believing what is right, holding to God's principles regardless of what is politically correct. 866-34-TRUTH to get in the discussion today. Again, Martin Luther King once stated, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic, meaning politically wise, correct? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? There comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but one must take it because it is right. Friends, if we lived like this as followers of Jesus, America would be a different place. Should we have wisdom? Of course. Must we act with compassion? Always. But I would dare say that a lot of our wisdom and a lot of our compassion is really not wisdom, is really not compassion. Rather, it is an excuse for cowardice. Rather, it is an excuse for caving in. Rather, it is an excuse to do what is easy rather than to do what is right. A generation from now, or less than that really, no one is going to look back and thank those who did what was politically expedient but was not right. No one's going to thank those who were spineless. No one's going to thank those who didn't have backbone. Think of how many people have really influenced your life by being wishy-washy and mealy-mouthed and lacking in conviction. Think of how many people have really touched your life that did not have firm, clear stands. And who do you respect? Who do you admire as time goes by? Those that cave in and bow down to the pressure, or those who stand up for what is right? Paul wrote these words to Timothy, knowing that he was soon going to be killed for the faith. He said this. He speaks of the gospel, which has now been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Messiah Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He says, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. He knew he was suffering for the gospel. He knew he was suffering for doing what was right. He knew he was suffering for preaching Jesus. But he says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. 2 Timothy 1:10 through 12. I know whom I believed. I'm convinced. There's some church teaching today that glorifies ambiguity. I call it the celebration of ambiguity. Why? I can't be sure. Who can be sure? We can't be dogmatic. Yeah, there's some things we can be dogmatic on and we need to be dogmatic on. And history will not forgive us for not being dogmatic on certain fundamental rights and wrongs. I'm convinced more than ever in my life, 57 years old, going on 41 years following Jesus, I'm convinced more than any time in my life that without moral certainty from the people of God, our culture will completely crumble. That without God's people serving as the salt of the earth and the light of the world, our culture, our country will crumble. I can't imagine a more urgent time to be alive than what we've been in right now. Oh, I can imagine things going more crazy than this. But in terms of what I've seen so far, what an urgent time to stand up for what is right on 1,000 different fronts. There was a Methodist preacher named W.E. Sangster who once said this, how shall I feel at the judgment if multitudes of missed opportunities pass before me in full array, and all my excuses prove to be disguises of my cowardice and pride? Oh, words like that sting, friends. I was looking at some quotes from A.W. Tozer right before the broadcast. And Tozer said this, "I can only say, let us be tolerant wherever we can be, and let us be charitable toward all those we cannot tolerate. But let us not imagine for a minute that we are called upon to take a top-of-the-fence stand, never knowing exactly what we believe." How relevant is that? Tozer died, what was it, around 1962? How relevant is that quote for us today? All right, friends, I'm going to go to the phones. I want to hear from some of you. I've got much more to share from my own heart. Again, the thing I was just struck with when I was praying, meditating on some things in my hotel room, ministering in Virginia with some precious folks this weekend, what I was struck by was very, very simple. The only question I ask is this right and true? If it's right and true, I'll stand up as God calls me to. I'll speak what he calls me to speak and write what he calls me to write. It doesn't matter if I get maligned or hated, if I lose support or gain support. That's not the issue. I got to do what's right. Look, I'm on the air because God's given me a sacred mission. I'm on the air because God's called me to make a difference. That's why I'm on the air. I trust that's why others are on the air as well. In other words, this is not about me. This is not about fulfilling some goal or desire in me. This is not about some ambition I have to do something or we're doing this to bring in money. No, this is something we're believing God for funds for every day. And I've got so many other areas to joyfully serve in, teach and preach and write that we've had a completely rearranged life and schedule to do these 2 hours live daily, which is an incredible privilege and honor for me to come your way every single day. I'm on the air because I'm convinced that I need to stand for what is right and true and be a voice of moral and cultural and spiritual revolution. And hopefully, in the words of Billy Graham, that the courage in my heart will be contagious into your hearts. Billy Graham said, "When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened." If God's called me to be brave in certain areas, I can strengthen you, and you can strengthen me in other areas, and together we can make a difference. Okay, before I go to the phones, before I share some more quotes, insights, thoughts with you, we're doing something we've never done before. No hype. You'll hear in a moment. It's no hype. Two of my most important teaching series, one called Foundations of Prayer, the other Foundations of Intercession. They're inspiring, they're eye-opening, they're edifying, they're life-changing. It's a total of 24 hours of teaching on two CDs. Now, these CDs are to play on your computer or to put on your MP3 player. You don't play them on a CD player. You play them on your computer for your MP3 player. It is 24 hours of teaching on two CDs. They're $20 each, so it's only $40 plus postage. You can get both of them, and we'll pay the postage, Foundations of Prayer, Foundations of Intercession. So it's 16 90-minute classes. 24 hours of teaching, instead of $40 plus postage, it's just $15 plus postage. Excuse me, and we'll pay the postage. It's almost hard to get it out. $15, and we'll pay the postage. Why are we doing it? One, I want to get prayer resources into your hands. The best I can, and we're basically giving these to you, the best I can, if you can be praying more and going after God more, boy, that makes all the difference. That's number one. Number two, as many of you can stand with us with an extra gift or donation, that would be wonderful because, again, we're pressing to meet some major goals. We do have a donor standing with us and multiplying your gifts. That still continues for a little bit longer. So everybody take advantage of this. Those that can give extra, wonderful. But get these resources. Here's the number to call. You can call throughout the show, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Normally $40 plus postage. Today, $15 postage paid, 24 hours of teaching on prayer and intercession. 1-800-278-9978. Or just go online, askdrbrown.org, click on the online bookstore. All right, to the phones, Marion in Boston. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you today?
I'm blessed, thank you.
Wonderful. I'm calling to encourage you. I don't get a chance to hear you often. I just turned the radio on and caught you, but I am so encouraged to hear you to take a stand for truth. I just moved back to Boston 8 months ago, and what I'm finding is that last statement of Dr. King's statement about the conscience standing for truth, I think the church's conscience has been seared, and compromise has been more profitable than the willingness to stand for what's true and what's right. only thing that gives me consolation is what Dr. Charles Stanley says at the end of every one of his messages. He says, obey God and leave the consequences to him.
Yes.
So my standing for what's truth doesn't make me popular, and I don't care about popularity. It doesn't make me too clingable with people, but I don't care about being inclingable. I want to do what's right before God. And just my brother, hold on. It will become contagious again. And I believe
Amen.
This whole thing will turn around.
Hey, Marion, I am absolutely with you. I believe it's going to turn too, because we're on the side of God and truth and righteousness. God bless you as you stand. Thank you. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, you want to know why we need to take a stand for what's right and speak what is true from the pulpit, in our homes, young people standing up in schools, wherever God places us? Here's another reason why. This report from the UK, the National Health Services, removes the word dad from pregnancy handbook in case it offends same-sex couples. The health service has removed the word dad from a pregnancy handbook for fear of offending gay and lesbian parents. Officials decided to use the term partner throughout the 200-page guide titled Ready, Steady, Baby after receiving a complaint that dad was discriminating against same-sex couples. Notice the insanity of this. They received a complaint. What if they received two complaints now with the new manual? Or two or 20 or 2,000? They received a complaint. I don't care if it's, by the way, a million complaints. But it so happens to be it was a complaint, according to what's written here. And dad, to put dad in the manual was discriminating again. I guess someone's going to say to put mom in there could be discriminating too. Someone's going to come up with that. But the omission of the word has angered some campaigners who claim that traditional family values are being undermined. Of course, look, everything gets changed. Don't you understand that? When we tamper with the foundations, everything gets changed. I don't care that it's unpopular to stand up for what's right and true today. I'm not going to stand up for what's right and true when it's popular, then when it's unpopular, run from it. The NHS feared that the term dad may offend same-sex couples and therefore replaced it with partner. Norman Wells of the Family Education Trust said this is all part of an agenda to present as natural a type of family that cannot be created by natural means. The NHS should not be squandering taxpayers' money to advance the cause of a minority interest group. No matter how much effort is made to present positive images of families headed by same-sex couples, the fact remains it takes a man and a woman to create a child. When someone says, I don't have a dad, well, maybe you weren't raised by a dad. Maybe you never knew your dad, but every child at least has a biological dad, by the way. Dr. Martin Luther King also said this, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. Alex in Riverhead on Long Island, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm blessed, thanks.
That's what I know. I listen to your show pretty much daily, and I enjoy it very much.
Thank you, sir.
Just to piggyback what you said about, if there wasn't Christians in the nation, then it would go down the tubes. And I agree 100% because we can look back in first century Christianity when Christians started to grow in Rome and how just the Christian and that pagan society really changed a lot of areas, in the Roman Empire at that stage, in time.
Yeah, so, look, the fact is you can't expect darkness to be light. You can't.
That's correct. Yep.
I get grieved when I hear of the latest movie out of Hollywood that's some crazy theme, but I'm not surprised because that's the worldview of a lot of these people. That's their mentality, that's some correct. Crazy violent thing or some crazy occult thing. That's their mentality. So the big problem to me is that we're not shining properly, that our house is not in order, that we're often not standing for what is right and true from the pulpits. And it's not like we're 0.1% hiding in a cave somewhere. We're everywhere in American society. There are tens of millions of us. And if we simply live right, look, if Christians lived holy lives, pornography in America would probably go out of business.
That's correct. I agree.
Any social indicator would be radically changed if Christians live right. Hey, Alex, I'm coming out to Suffolk County, God willing, I think the second weekend in June. So we'll be announcing that on WLIX for our listeners out there. Hopefully get to meet a lot of you folks face to face. But let's stand up and make a difference. Amen.
Amen. And you know what? Christians can't be secret agents these days. We got to let our identity be known and be change agents.
Yes, sir. Unashamedly, with grace, with wisdom, with compassion, but unashamedly. Yes, sir. Thank you for the call, Alex. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Ben in Louisville, Kentucky. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, appreciate very much to you and your staff letting me on. I actually used to listen to you every day, and I actually recently started a job where I'm at work during the hours you're on, and I happen to be off, so I thank you so much for allowing me on. And like I said, I've listened to you since I was about 16. I think the first thing I saw you do was your debates with Shmuley Boteach, and I come from a similar background to you, Jewish background. Only difference is that I actually come from a city where you wouldn't expect to find a lot of Jews in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, really?
There are about five synagogues here, pretty historic. If you've heard of Louis Brandeis, the first Jewish Supreme Court justice, he was from Louisville, so a little bit of a presence of it. But
interesting.
So it's pretty interesting. And but the reason I bring up Louisville, too, is growing up here where I am, some call it the northernmost southern city or the southernmost northern. It's kind of right in between. And so I get hit or around folks from various point of views, of course, cultures coming together. So as opposed to, you know, if I lived in, say, New York City or maybe deep Tennessee, you might be around, for the most part, a single point of view, whether left or right. But I've seen extreme points of both. And the main thing is just to live your faith. And I've even, you know, debated people further to the right than me. And when I say that, I mean, I'm, of course, a theologically conservative Christian. But there are some who I think I don't know how I might phrase it, but they
there can be a militancy that some have that I would feel is not Christ-like or is not in accordance with Scripture. But hey, Ben, we've got a break coming up. But thanks first for the information about Louisville. But absolutely,
no,
look, I've looked at others that have been out and proud and standing up for what they believe is right, and those who used to be fringe are now mainstream, and they did it by not cowering in a corner. And by coming out and declaring what they believed and standing for it, because most Americans are pretty apathetic. And like Evangelist Tom Skinner said years ago, they'll just shift with whoever's winning. So, Ben, thanks for the call. Continue to be a shining witness in Louisville and beyond. I want to encourage every one of you, friends, take advantage of the amazing resource offered this week. 24 hours of teaching, 16 lessons, 90 minutes each on prayer, on intercession. It's on two CDs to listen to on your computer, not your CD player in your car, but on your computer or for your MP3 player. They're normally $40 plus postage. This week only, $15, and we'll pay the postage. If you can help with an additional gift, awesome, because that will be multiplied by a donor to help us meet some pressing needs right now and help us move forward with what we're doing. But everyone, take advantage of this. Get this teaching in your system. 1-800-278-9978 to order the series on prayer and intercession. 1-800-278-9978, or just go online, askdrbrown.org. Click on online bookstore. You can order there. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. I say to you what God said to Joshua: be strong, be courageous, meditate on God's word, live it out, do what's right. He'll bless you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listen to what Winston Churchill said. Success is never final. Failure is never fatal. It's courage that counts. G.K. Chesterton said, courage is almost a contradiction in terms. It means a strong desire to live, taking the form of a readiness to die. Quote Martin Luther King again, courage faces fear and thereby masters it. Cowardice represses fear and is thereby mastered by it. C.S. Lewis, courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point. These last few quotes that I just read, gleaned from the book Never Scratch a Tiger with a Short Stick, and other quotations for leaders compiled by Gordon S. Jackson. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about the need to stand up for what's right, to stand up for what's true, to not bow down to the culture of the age, to not cave in to the spirit of the age, to not be moved by popular opinion. Friends, there are political leaders who are righteous, godly people who know the Lord and love the Lord and are trying to stand up for what's right, regardless of whether it costs them votes or not. But you see, so many others along the way compromise. They cave in. Here's the thinking. Well, in order to get elected, I need this group to vote for me. I need this group to vote for me. I need this group to vote for me. So I've got to give a little here, bend a little there, modify my position a little here. Then when I get in, then I can really do it. No, it'll never work because you've already sold your soul. You've already compromised. All right, see, I'm going to grow my church. I'm just planted a new church, and I've got these deep convictions. I want to really raise up disciples. I want to bring people to the cross. I want to produce people who are willing to give their lives for the gospel. But I know it's a hard message, and people aren't going to hear it initially. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of preach a more popular message. I'm going to preach one that kind of builds people up, makes them feel better about themselves, gives them a more positive self-image, so they really like my messages and package things in such a way that are totally non-challenging, non-offensive. And then once I build a healthy church and I've got funding and everything's secure, then I'll start to challenge them to go deep. Never happened. You've already sold your soul. You've already sold out. You've already compromised your convictions. You've already gone the way of carnality and human thinking as opposed to believing in the power of God and the wisdom of God. And believing that the foolishness of the cross is wiser than men and the weakness of the cross is stronger than men. You've already gone the way of human wisdom instead of divine wisdom. And even if you had the ability to carry out your strategy on your end, you'll lose all the people. They didn't sign up for that. Yesterday, Memorial Day, hanging out with family, we're thinking, okay, what should we do? Let's go get something to eat. Where should we go? And I finally agreed on one restaurant. It was almost empty when we got there. Can I tell you, if partway through the meal, they said, all right, listen, we need you to start cleaning out the place here. Who's going to wash the floors? Who's going to clean the bathrooms? Who's going to go around and pick up trash in the yard? I'd be like, excuse me, we came here for a meal. We came here for a meal, a fun family day to relax. We came here for a meal. We're not employees of the restaurant. Well, it's going to be the same way. You preach a carnal gospel. You preach a message for connoisseur Christians, a gourmet gospel. You preach something that's just going to titillate the ear and make people feel good about themselves and so on. And then you think from there you're going to call them to conviction, to sacrifice, to take up the cross. It's not going to happen. Yes, we use wisdom. Yes, we operate in compassion. Yes, we are practical. But compromise is never God's way of practicality. And being politically correct and politically expedient will never get you on the straight and narrow path. Never. All right, back with your calls on the other side of the break.
Fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've quoted from Billy Graham, from A.W. Tozer, a couple of quotes from Martin Luther King, quoted from some other leaders, from C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, Winston Churchill, all with something relevant to say on the subject of standing up for what's right, not what is politically expedient or politically correct. Martin Luther King said something very profound. I always qualify things when I quote Luther to say thank God for the good he did, and I regret the wrong things he wrote. This is one of the powerful good quotes from Luther. He said, "If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every part of the truth of God except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, then I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing him. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all battlefields besides is merely flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point." Friends, we're at one of those flinching points in our society. There are key moral, cultural issues presenting themselves to the body, presenting themselves to believers, presenting themselves to leaders. And so many are backing down. So many are caving in. So many are compromising. So many are fearing controversy and pressure and difficulty and repercussions. We'll never advance the gospel that way, friends, because the same backbone that it takes to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Jesus is the only way to God is the same backbone that it takes to stand up for what is right and true and just in society. Same backbone. 866-34-TRUTH. If you're just tuning in, we have a phenomenal resource offer this week, so I'm mentioning it not just at the end of each half hour as I normally do, but during the broadcast. 24 hours of teaching, two full classes, 8 lectures each, 90 minutes per lecture, practical teaching on prayer, on intercession, foundations of prayer, foundations of intercession, to listen to, not on your CD player in the car, but to listen to on your computer, to put on your MP3 player. It's only $40 for the 2 CDs plus postage. Today, you can get them for $15 postage paid. So that's a savings of, 60-something percent. We're basically giving them to you to get them into your hands. To order, 1-800-278-9978. And everyone that can stand with me, if you believe in the voice that God has given me to speak and to stand for truth and righteousness on these airwaves, any additional gift that you send in will be multiplied by a donor as we meet some critical needs right now. 1-800-278-9978 to order. One more time, 1-800-278-9978, or just go online, click on askdrbrown.org, and then click on the online bookstore. Okay, back to the phones. Mickey in Tewksbury, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
Just trying to stand up for truth, and here's what I've done. I contacted my representatives in my state, and I approached them about First Amendment rights and the heritage we have from us leaving England and establishing our country. And I got a letter back, and I'm going to be pursuing them because what troubles me, I see all the laws that the government is made in place, and I kind of resent that they're going to suppress Christians and our faith to, speak in the marketplace that, under our amendment rights. So in short, they've, taken away our First Amendment rights. And the second thing that troubles me is, on our end, Christians, so little people want to stand up and get involved in politics and take them right on. And that's what my approach is I'm a Democrat at this moment, and I called these representatives and took them to task that, taking away my rights as a Christian and to practice my faith, and I took them to task and plan on continually I'm going to meet with them in the future.
Yeah, and Nikki, yeah, let me just jump in. What you're doing is the right thing. In other words, saying, okay, I have a voice, and I'm going to speak. And I'm going to reach out, and we have elected representatives. They're there to serve you. They're there to do what's right. And to reach out and say, if you want my vote, here's what you have to do. And I'm also appealing to you to do what's right and to protect our First Amendment rights. I also want to say this, Mickey, that ultimately nobody can silence us. They can make it more difficult for us to speak. They can make it more challenging for us to speak. We can be put in jail for speaking, as happens to our colleagues in other parts of the world. But nobody can silence us. I got an email from a friend who had just gotten into Kurdistan and met with the widow of a man who was killed in March of this year. He had 6-foot spikes driven through his face. He was shot 9 times. His wife carries a vibrant testimony. We can even be killed for the gospel, but nobody could ultimately silence us. And that's what we have to remember. If we're determined to speak and get a message out by God's grace, we can. Continue to stand strong, Mickey. Lift up Jesus and stand for what is right in the political realm as well. Tom in Wall, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Michael, buddy. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Tom.
Hey, good. Yeah, I love your radio program, and I get to listen to it quite a bit. I'm driving home from work every day at that time.
Great.
I wanted to bring to your attention something that's come up here in my area. I don't know if you know about the Ocean Grove Auditorium.
Of course. Sure.
Okay. Apparently, they've invited Kirk Cameron to come speak on marriage on July 27th. I don't
Excellent.
Know if you heard or not, but I heard that that some gay activists have come down on them pretty strong and are trying to get them to not have him come and speak because he supposedly came on a popular TV program and spoke against gay marriage and was for traditional marriage. So,
yeah, in fact, Tom, just to jump in, I wrote an article about that. It was completely outrageous. He's on Piers Morgan. He was on to talk about his new movie, Monumental. Piers Morgan, of course, has to change the discussion to redefining marriage and ask what he's going to teach his children. He says, well, he's going to teach, you know, this is the way it is from the beginning. God established male, female, you know, and that's marriage. That's the only thing we've known for basically 6,000 years of recorded history and society and so on. Anyway,
right.
after stating that, he's then asked about his views on homosexuality. He says that it's unnatural and destructive to society. Well, as a result of just saying that, he comes under this crazy attack. Roseanne Barr says that he's an accomplice to murder with his hate speech. So I actually wrote an article. If you just search online, is Kirk Cameron an accomplice to murder? It got a lot of reads. It was shared with thousands and thousands of people. Is Kirk Cameron an accomplice to murder? And we've got some friends that are working with him to encourage him to keep standing up for what is right. But the amazing thing is, everywhere there's been a vote on this throughout America where the people have been able to vote, they voted, yes, marriage is the union of a man and woman.
Right.
Even in England, where there are forces trying to push this through, even to the point that churches and clergy would have to participate in these things. I just read a recent poll is very much against that happening, even in England, where the faith levels are so low compared to America. So this is the deal. There's going to be opposition. And most of the time, people run from opposition. When it's going to be too costly or difficult, you just go somewhere else. Look, I've gone sometimes to stop at a place and I see a long line. It's like, forget it. It's not worth it. That's how a lot of people are when it comes to serious decisions and to righteousness issues. Like, it's not worth it. We can't do that with the truth. We can't do that with the gospel. We can't do that with what is right and just. We have to stand up, period, regardless of cost or consequence. So I'd encourage you to get online, get a copy of that article, Is Kirk Cameron an Accomplice to Murder? And then share it with your friends. Get it out as widely as you can because it's really eye-opening.
Yeah, they were trying to exhort some people to maybe call the Camp Meeting Association and encourage them to not take him down from coming on July 27th, but to stand against that.
Yeah, so. Yeah. The fact is, when four Republicans in New York State caved in and compromised and said, okay, we'll have a religious exemption for clergy that don't have to get involved with same-sex marriage. So remarkably, the vote goes down, and marriage is redefined in New York State. What a shameful, horrific thing happened. And these guys, as I understand it, basically bought off and compromised. Well, here's the deal. I was also told that some of these guys said, we heard from all the gay activists. We didn't hear from the Christians. So let Christians raise their voices and let Christians say, we are standing up for what's right. We are standing together with Kirk Cameron. And with God on our side, we are always a majority. So if we're standing with him for what's right, he will be with us. Stand strong, Tom. Build the wall of righteousness there in Wall, New Jersey.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listen to what A.W. Tozer said. But a lot of people have gone too far and have written books and poetry that gets everybody believing that God is so kind and loving and gentle. God is so kind that infinity won't measure it. And God is so loving that he is immeasurably loving. But God is also holy and just. He calls us to stand for what is holy, and he calls us to stand for what is just. And he blesses those who seek the kingdom of God and his or its righteousness. And he blesses those who are persecuted for righteousness, for doing what is right, for standing for truth, for going against the grain. Remember, Paul warned Timothy about a day that happened in his day and has happened many times since and is happening in our day here in America. The day would come when people would not put up with sound doctrine. Everybody thinks they've got sound doctrine, don't they? Well, he said that they would gather around themselves teachers that would tell them what their itching ears want to hear. The flesh wants to hear certain things. It doesn't want to go the way of the cross. It doesn't want to be narrow. It doesn't want to say there are black and white issues of truth. But from God's perspective, there are, and we must stand up for that which is right and true. Again, quote it once more in case you missed it earlier in the broadcast. I was struck this weekend while ministering in Virginia. Just hit me again, boom, between the eyes. The only thing that matters to me is it right? If it's right, I'm going to stand for it. If it's right and it's God, I'm going to stand for it. The question is not, what are the consequences? The question is not, will I gain support, lose listeners, gain popularity, lose popularity. The thing that paralyzes me is uncertainty. Do I know that I know? Am I absolutely sure? Am I convicted? If I'm convicted and I'm sure, then nothing can stop me from doing what's right. And I was chewing on that this morning, preparing for the show, and rolling around the back of my mind, I said, I know there's a quote about this. I know there's a quote. Sure enough, Martin Luther King, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic, meaning politically wise? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe nor politic nor popular, but one must take it because it is right. Friends, if we cave in now, we're going to have to apologize to God and to our kids and to our grandkids. Proverbs 24, if you faint in the day of trouble, your strength is small. In the Lord, friends, we are overcomers. Back to the phones. Samantha in Houston, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. How are you, Dr. Brown?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Okay. I was calling then because I know you had mentioned that there are some racist political speakers out there. Well, how do you get a hold of them? Because most of the time, one thing you see on TV is people just downgrading each other. You don't really hear anybody saying, okay, I'm politically standing up correct because this is right. I want to do the right thing. So,
you know, Samantha, it's a real battle for people once they get into politics that they end up having to tear each other down. You know, that always grieves me that both parties, it doesn't matter who they are, that in order to get ahead, it's like the rule. You have to attack each other and say ugly things against each other. I think what we ought to do is write to politicians or tell them, if you want my donation, you've got to run a positive campaign. I know it's completely contrary to what normally works. And then the other thing is, we need to encourage our spiritual leaders, leaders of communities.
Yeah, well, my pastor's already spoken up. he pretty much said that he's not going to vote for Obama because of the
redefinition of marriage issues. Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
So my pastor spoke up about that about a Sunday ago. Then in this past Sunday, he actually spoke out about our message was about righteousness, standing up for righteousness.
Yeah. Look, Samantha, I think your call kind of illustrates what we're dealing with. It has to come from the spiritual leaders. Hopefully, yes, we can influence the political leaders and God can raise up political leaders and we pray for our political leaders. But it's really going to have to come from the pulpits, courageous pastors, leaders standing up for what's right. And Samantha, if we sent you a book, would you be able to get it into your pastor's hands as a gift?
Yes, sir.
All right. Tell you what, I want you to stay on hold right there. Andrew, get Samantha's name and address. And Samantha, I want to send you a copy of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, to give as a gift to your pastor to encourage him to stand up for what is right. Thank you for calling, Samantha. Moses in Newark, New Jersey, we're a little short in time, so go for it, Moses.
All right, God bless you. I just want to ask for advice because I have a Christian friend that she attends this, I don't know, I guess it's so liberal. It's like a club scene kind of Christianity. And then I have a friend that's like into a Christian fraternity. You could look it up, but it's called Ignite, the like a club scene Christianity. I want to know how I go about it, good, because I've been blessed to know the old past. I want to know how to speak about this modern Christianity that's sneaking in, that's things like Christian rap. You know, how to speak against those type of things.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Christian rap thing is a broader issue because some Christian rap artists have very, very strong messages and it's just a venue, and then others say God can't use Christian rap. That's a bit of a separate topic. But Moses, here's what I want to do. We were sending these out last week, but I want to send this to you. So in a moment, Andrew's going to get your contact info also. I want to send you my CD. We were sending this out last week. In fact, we have it online for folks to listen to as well. The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance. I want to send you a copy of that. So, Joey, let Andrew know that because I see he's tied up right now. The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance. I encourage you to listen to it to see the wrong mentality mindset and then see if your friends will listen to it as well. And then just begin some discussion. Also, a great book to read is called Almost Christian. Almost Christian. I can't send you that. We don't have that in stock. But Almost Christian. Just look for it online. It's really eye-opening, especially what's happening with young people. And Moses, we will send you free a copy of The Spineless Gospel of Tolerance and Acceptance. So stay there. It'll be a moment before someone gets to you. All right, friends. Take advantage of this offer this week, and those that can stand with us and help, we do have a donor standing with us still, just a little bit longer, multiplying the gifts that come in. So every $10 becomes $15, every $100 becomes $150, and we're putting 100% of that towards radio, towards this outreach and this ministry that God has given us. So remember, my series on Foundations of Prayer and Foundations of Intercession, it's 24 hours of teaching, 12 on prayer, 12 on intercession. It'll really impact you. It's as practical and biblically based as you can get. Normally $40 for two CDs for your computer or MP3 player, but this week $15, postage paid. Any additional gifts will help directly with radio outreach. 1-800-278-9978 to order. 1-800-278-9978 or just go online, askdrbrown.org. And click on the online bookstore to order. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. And friends, I'm not lacking in boldness. I'm not lacking in courage. I'm not lacking in calling to be a voice. I'm not lacking with a message to get out. That's what God's put in my heart. So pray for us that God would open a wider and wider door of opportunity. Stand with us financially as you're able to. Thanks to all of our torchbearers and supporters for being part of what we're doing. Together, by God's grace, we are making a difference. My bottom line today, when you stand before God, he won't ask you, was it easy? He won't ask you, what did the people say? He would ask you one question only. Did you do what I called you to do? What do you do if you just can't seem to find God's love in your personal life? And what are the promises to Israel have to do with us individually?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I love getting really difficult theological questions in email or in live debates, people challenging me on these deep biblical issues and translation issues and all types of controversial moral, social, cultural issues. I thrive on that. I love to be asked challenging, difficult questions. There are some questions, though, that hit on a personal level. And they're more difficult than the theological questions. They're more difficult than the moral cultural questions because it's about an individual and their relationship with God. I take those so seriously. And those, to me, are often more weighty. And we're going to explore some of those today with a guest that's been given some real insight from the Lord. Pastoral ministry for decades, but also writing and teaching for years as well, with a strong emphasis on God's true love. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. My guest, whom I'll be introducing in a moment, Pastor Dave Harward, author of the book God's True Love and a dear, close friend for many, many years. He's been on with us in the past, and whenever he's in the area in North Carolina, we try to bring him in the studio. Here's the number to call if you've got a question for me or for my guest, David Harward, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. First hour today, we're on a totally different subject, the subject of standing up for what's right, standing up with courage, being people of conscience, regardless of cost or consequence. I encourage you to listen to that broadcast later today when it's available online. Do that on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire for that. Dave Harward and I have been friends for years. We're both from Long Island. We're both Jewish believers in Jesus Yeshua. Both got saved similar times. And God's really burdened David in particular ways, with specific burdens over the years that he's really been able to articulate. And one that's burned very deeply in him for many years is this issue of God's true love. So, David, thanks for being with us on the broadcast today.
Well, it's my pleasure, Mike.
All right, get you just a little closer to the mic there. All right. And you've got the deep booming voice that works. All right, David, is this merely a theological truth to you? In other words, believers need to better understand the theology of God's love, or does it go much, much more beyond that in terms of our personal lives and our relationship with God?
Well, from my perspective, the primary thing that this is about is that God wants us to know him through, like, the prism or the lens of his love for us. And so it's not just a matter of human need or something which is good or pleasurable, because, I mean, for instance, as far as the love of God is concerned, it says that he scourges every child that he receives, right? So love is not always something which is just a pleasant experience. Love from God can produce situations which are intended to help us form character. But for the most part, God really desires us to know his love in the same way that Jesus knew the love of the Father. That's how God wants to be known.
That's a realistic goal to you? I mean, that's really God's? That's not just some theological abstraction that's out there?
Well, as you and I have partaken, and probably most of the people who are listening to us, we are partakers of the new covenant, which is made in and through Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, that all who attach themselves to him enter into this new covenant, and this new covenant produces in us the knowledge of God, produces in us the knowledge of God and an awareness of that which is righteous, along with the capacity to follow through in that relationship and to pursue righteousness.
All right, so somehow God, by the new covenant, can bring us into an experience of that love, right? We'll talk about how when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. My special guest today, this hour, Pastor David Harwood. Pastors on Long Island. He is a Jewish believer in Jesus. He is the author of the book, God's True Love. We have a link to it on our on Line of Fire website. I have a link on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, one word, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And you can just click on Amazon.com and order your copy of God's True Love. David has taught on this subject to our students here at Fire School of Ministry, sometimes with dramatic results. I mean, not just people being touched while they're being taught, but being touched in a way that a year or two or three, they point back to those truths as being life-changing. If you have a question for Pastor David or for me, 866-34-TRUTH. All right, David, you are theologically inclined, exegetically inclined. You like to do serious research and writing. We'll often interact on points. What does the Hebrew say? What's the nuance of the Greek here? But you're a pastor. You care about people. And more importantly than any of that, you emphasize relationship with God more than anything else. So let's help our listeners. I dealt with an email question from someone that's been saved many, many years last week, and they're just saying, how do I find God's grace? I try, I do what I know how to do. So on a practical level, how does someone experience the love of God? Obviously, reading your book, God's True Love, takes them through so much scriptural truth that it changes our thinking. But mm-hmm. you're talking to someone who's struggling. Maybe they're self-condemned. Maybe they're raised in a miserable home without a loving father. You know the different things that factor in wrong religious beliefs.
Sure.
Let's talk through some of the different ways that will help people experience and find and discover God's true love.
Well, let's talk, first of all, to people who just have normal difficulties.
Okay.
Because everybody's got difficulties. That's normal. And so the reason that, like, the book has as much Bible in it as it does is because I really have faith that the scriptures release God's truth into our minds and into our spirits. So if a person is interested in pursuing the knowledge, the experiential knowledge of the love of God, they must begin where we would begin with any other biblical truth, which is the scriptures. We need to open up the word in order to try to discover what it is that God is saying, not merely what it is that we've heard from a sermon or from a popular song, let's say.
So truths in God's word are more powerful than human opinions, more powerful than newspaper headlines. There's something supernatural about the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a...
And God delights to reveal himself through his word. That's one of the things that he loves to do. So when people open themselves up to God, they're pursuing God. It's not just give me some sort of theological truth. I like truth. I seek to find truth, but truth from God is a means to knowing God, and he wants to be known. He loves us so much that he actually wants us to know him.
All right, so in your mind, truth and experience really go hand in hand when it comes to knowing God. We can obviously wrongly emphasize one or another, but our experience from God is not just based on feelings or emotions or a high during worship. It's based on truth about who he is.
Truth about who he is. And what the truth does from the scriptures is when applied to our lives in faith and when we pursue God, it leads to experience. And if we are strongly intuitive and have a lot of experience with God, we need the truth of the scriptures in order to interpret rightly what it is that we actually have experienced.
All right. So let's take a verse, all right? You're helping someone, and we're going to spoon feed for a moment. I don't mean that to insult anyone, but maybe some people are listening and they're brand new. They're just hearing about Jesus. They're brand new. Let's take a verse or two. Give me one of your verses that is especially a favorite. I mean, there's so many when it comes to this. And then what you would do, how do I get this in my system? How do I get it in my heart, my mind? What do I do?
Well, the first thing that I would do is I would say, you know, you want to do what it is that Jesus wants you to do, right? And that we take that as a given. And then I would refer them to the 15th chapter of John. 15th chapter of John is awesome. One of the reasons that it is so awesome is because that's the sort of like he's talking to his disciples on the night that he is to be betrayed,
okay,
he's giving them what it is that he wants them to know, and he's speaking to them in the light of this. I'm not always going to be with you. I'm going to be taken from you. And he begins to say, I want to maintain a relationship with you, even when I'm not present, the same type of relationship that I have with you now. And so he begins to say to them over and over again, I want you to abide in me. And after he emphasizes this to his disciples over and over again, about five times, abide in me, he then gives them sort of like a window into how to be able to do that. So I would say, first of all, you want to be with the Lord. You want to do what he wants you to do. He wants you to abide in a relationship with him. He wants you to abide in him. And then take a look at this verse here, verse 9, where it says, Jesus said to his disciples, just like the Father has loved me, so have I also loved you. And then he comes out with a commandment, abide or remain in my love. So I would say, take a look at this. You're actually being commanded to remain in an awareness of the love that Jesus has for you. And let's exercise our imaginations. I would be in any way shy about asking them to imagine this. How do you think that Jesus was loved by the Father?
All right, so let me just jump in. John 15, 9, we're called, we're commanded to remain in the love of God, to abide in the love of God. Yesterday was a free day. It was Memorial Day, one of the first times I can remember quite a long time, just saying, okay, I'm going to play a repeat show, one of the best we had. It was on Revival, and just a free day, hung out, chilled with the family. And we just chilled. I mean, we played games. We went for a meal. We ate stuff we wouldn't normally eat. I had a chocolate extreme blizzard at Dairy Queen, which hit the spot. Okay, so we hung out, grandkids, we were together. I love being with the family. I'm always moving, active, but you know, so I have to change my mentality. But when we do it, just hanging out with Nancy, the family kid, the grandkids, our two oldest that live around here, 11 years old and 8 years old, just hanging out with them, I thoroughly enjoyed, and I know they enjoy being with me and with Nancy. Does God actually enjoy being with us? I mean, it's one thing, I command you to remain in my love. You better do it. Or we might think, okay, we're commanded to because it's good for us and God's concerned. But does he actually enjoy us?
I remember that this some of these truths were made alive to you through your relationship with your grandchildren. And when we spoke about that at one time, I was like, you know, this is real. This is true. I mean, we don't want to make God into a grandfather rather than a father, because from what I understand, grandparents can tend to be a bit more
indulgent.
Yeah, perhaps.
But I enjoyed spending time with the kids too.
So, yes, I mean, God not only delights in us. Look, God the Father delighted in his Son, the Messiah, Jesus. And when Jesus presented himself in wholehearted consecration at the Jordan River, the Father said, you are my beloved Son. I am delighted in you. My heart is thrilled with you.
But he was perfect. We're not perfect. He was perfect.
Exactly. And that's why I take heart from the people's the example of the disciples, to whom Jesus was saying, just like the Father loved me, so have I loved you.
Because they weren't perfect.
They were far from perfect. As a matter of fact, that night was a night of shame, both before and after the Messiah was arrested for them. I mean, it was a night of comfort. It was a night of assurance. It was a night of revelation. There were glorious things that were going on, but it was only within the previous few hours that they were having an argument at the table as to which one of them was the greatest in the kingdom of God. It was only a few hours beforehand that the Lord is washing their feet in order to bring something fresh into their lives, to be able to give them vision for being a community in which he would be able to dwell. It was only a few hours after he was saying that that they're all running away. One of his disciples is betraying him. Peter is swearing in the holiest city, in the precincts of the holiest building, in the backyard, let's say, of the house of the holiest man, the high priest on the planet, calling down curses upon himself, denying Jesus. And the Lord has already prophesied, Peter, you're going going to deny me. The Lord knew that they were going to run away. He knew that they were going to betray him. And he said, as the Father has loved me, and we are in agreement, Jesus was really worth loving. Mm-hmm. But Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I also loved you. I am finding the same delight in you mm-hmm. as the Father is finding delight in me. And it's enough to make you want to enter into a controversy with the Lord. It's like, wait a second, you know,
we
Jesus.
Don't deserve it. Right,
exactly.
Right.
You are worth loving. We agree with heaven. Worthy is the Lamb. We take off any crowns we have. We put it down. And the Lord is saying, who gave you those crowns?
Yeah,
who
yeah.
gave
that's,
you those crowns?
That's the love of God. And friends, God has to open our mind to it because it's too mind-blowing. But that's the truth. Say, God, open my heart and mind to believe it. All right, much more to come. God's True Love, the book by David Harwood.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, the world and worldly-minded preachers, there's always a struggle in the mind of the world and worldly-minded preachers to replace divine truths with human truths. So we are constantly trying to pump people up with self-confidence and feeling good about themselves. And I understand that if you feel miserable about yourself and you're hopeless and you're downcast and you think you're a failure, it's difficult to really stand up and do what's right and live with any hope. But what we really need is that sense of the love of God for us and God taking delight in us. And if that's the case, man, nothing can stop you. Nothing can hold you back. 866-34-TRUTH, my guest, Pastor David Harwood, his book, God's True Love. So, David, this mind-blowing revelation that Jesus showed the disciples the same love that the Father showed him, and that the Father loves us in a way that compares to, resembles the way he loves Jesus, so that Jesus is our older brother, and we are now part of the same family, and Jesus is standing before the Father with us, so to say, with his arms around us, like, these are my brothers and sisters, Dad.
Right.
This is the family. Okay, some people just have such a hard time believing that because they're aware of their shortcomings. Now, you're saying meditating on the truths of God's word helps. You're also saying use our imagination about how the Father loved the Son. So use your imagination and help us with that. Help us walk through that and change our way of thinking.
Well, again, I think that I must really go back to this. It's like, in order to know the love of God, both to have our souls affected and also to experience the love of God, and those are two different things. Because, like, if a person is convinced that God loves them, they're going to end up coming into a certain degree of peace of heart. But knowing that and having peace of heart and having that type of comfort and actually encountering the love of God by the Spirit are two different things.
All right, so I want to emphasize again your emphasis on the Spirit doing the work. This is a supernatural transaction, a supernatural revelation, not one that I'm going to keep hitting myself over the head with because I don't get it, I got to do better.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be this real reliance on the Spirit to open our hearts and minds. So we come dependent. Lord, I can't get this right. Yeah. Help me. Open my heart. Open my mind.
Right. And it's the Holy Spirit who leads us to the words of the incarnate Son of God. It's the Holy Spirit that says, look, pay attention here. He really wants you to have, like he says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will come to you. The Spirit of God comes. He begins to interpret Jesus' heart to us. And part of that which he is speaking to us about throughout the world and throughout the generations is that Jesus really loves people, that Jesus really loves those who are part of his church. And for the individuals, Jesus really loves you, the individual. And the Spirit of God draws people to the Word of God, and the Scriptures then send us right back to reliance upon the Holy Spirit, as in Paul's prayer for the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 3.
All right, so the Father and Son, before the world was created, have this extraordinary relationship.
Yes.
The Son reflects that. I found it helpful to meditate on how the Son related to the Father.
Yes.
In terms of my relationship with God. I wasn't struggling, but mm-hmm. it was enriching when I started to come from that perspective. So How does Jesus relate to the Father? How does the Father relate to Jesus? How do we enter into that?
Well, I think that we can, for instance, take a look back to Proverbs chapter 8, where it speaks of wisdom, and the New Testament would look at the writers of the New Testament would look at the wisdom of the Old Testament as being symbolic of the relationship of Jesus to the Father. And wisdom is saying, I was daily his delight. Daily his delight. Mm. I was rejoicing in his presence, and I was rejoicing also in the children of humanity. And so you have the understanding of Jesus being the reality of God's heavenly his heavenly wisdom, rejoicing in his presence, taking delight in the Father, having the Father take delight in him, and also delighting in the children of humanity, which is a really, you know, for someone from my background, it's a weird verse, because I would have thought, great, you were taking delight in Adam before Adam fell. But there in Proverbs 8, it's in the children of humanity. That's a post-fall verse. Mm. God taking delight in humanity. Well, it almost sounds like the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, doesn't it? You know, peace on earth, goodwill towards humanity, with which he is pleased, in which he delights. And so this entire matter of God seeking to draw humanity back to him that they might know his delight in them so that they may end up, so to speak, spontaneously fulfilling that which was a command, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. This entire this creed that comes out of Deuteronomy 6, it's like, okay, I'm going to do that. It happens when we know the delight of God in us, when we know that God is centered towards us in and through the Messiah, that he delights in us in the same way that he delighted in Jesus. It takes, all of a sudden, our hearts begin to get somewhat reoriented, and our relationship with him changes, our relationship with the people around us, well, our relationships with them, they change. The way we view ourselves, well, changes. The way we approach God also goes through a transformation, and it all goes back to God revealing himself in the Messiah Jesus, God incarnate, saying, as the Father has loved me, I am his beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, so also do I love you. And then again he says, stay in this, stay in this, stay in this relationship with me. I want you to know this.
All right, so friends, get the book, God's True Love. It is so rich with scripture, with insight as you meditate on this. And what everyone can do, take a chapter like John 15 and go through it, read it slowly and pray and say, God, open my heart, open my mind, make this real. See if something sticks out at you. See if something grabs your attention. See if something seems so impossible. And allow yourself to imagine that God actually enjoys you. Some were afraid, like, if I do that, then I'll just go out and sin. Well, why would you go out and sin if you think that God enjoys you? Friend, where's the connection? If I think that God takes delight in me, I'll just go out and do something stupid. No, quite the contrary. You'll realize, wow, when I pray, it matters. Wow, when I talk to the Lord, it matters. When I stand up for what's right, he's smiling on that. There's an insight that Nancy shared with me a few weeks back. I want to share it when we come back. And I want to talk about the importance of experience and then what we can learn from God's promises to Israel. Friends, we have an extraordinary offer this week. We've never done this before. My two classes, Foundations of Prayer, Foundations of Intercession, they're each 8 sessions, 90 minutes for each session. So it's 12 hours of teaching on prayer, 12 hours on intercession, so 24 hours total. It's on 2 CDs, not to listen to in your car, CD player, but in your computer for your MP3 player. 24 hours of teaching. It's only $40. This week, it's $15, plus we're paying the postage. It's an extraordinary offer. If you can help with any additional gift, that's being multiplied by a donor who's helping us at a critical time as we are moving forward with our radio ministry. So call 1-800-278-9978 to order. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Friends, together, we're making a difference.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Is there any subject more important than the love of God? I mean, really? Honestly? Can there be any subject possibly more important than knowing God's love for us and responding with our love for Him? I once heard about a little girl. She told her pastor she was all upset. She was trying to say, I love Jesus, but she couldn't say it. She didn't feel it in her heart. And he said, oh, honey, all this week, I just want you to say Jesus loves me. Don't think about loving Jesus. Just say Jesus loves me. And she comes back a week later, beaming, because I love Jesus so much. If we could just establish in our hearts how much he loves us. Oh, it comes by revelation. Our response is going to be, oh, God, here I am. Your son, your daughter, I want to serve you. I want to give my all to you. I just want to be with you. What can I do? It's the only natural response when we recognize how amazing God's love is. And my assumption, friends, after serving the Lord 40-plus years now and being in the Word for God knows how many thousands of hours and seeking him, that in terms of understanding the greatness of God's love, the full reality of it, I don't know. Maybe I'm at a quarter of 1%. Maybe that's crazily high. Maybe it's a quarter of a thousandth of 1% in terms of what can be known. There's an ocean of God's love. My guest in the studio with me, Pastor David Harwood, author of the excellent book, which I highly recommend and did recommend in writing, God's True Love. You can order it on Amazon.com. We've got a link to order it on our website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. David, you have written worship music as well. So you're musician, songwriter, as well as author and pastor. A lot of things come down to an experience of God's truth, which brings us into an experience of God's love. There is the person like a Mother Teresa, an unusual person, gives herself sacrificially in ways that are mind-boggling to serve the poorest of the poor. She has this experience of Jesus. I know she's Catholic. Many of our listeners are not. She has this experience of Jesus, changes her life. She then gives herself for the hurting of the poor and basically never experiences God for the rest of her life. I don't know what I would tell a Mother Teresa, but what do you tell someone that seems unable to experience God? I mean, they've prayed, they've meditated on Scripture, they've sought the Lord. We've got a couple minutes now, then we can continue this, but can you help someone to experience? Do you tell them just walk by faith, forget about an experience? What's your counsel?
Well, I think we must walk by faith. And to some degree, we must walk by faith and forget about experience. We're not worshiping and our experience with God. We're worshiping God. But if we are walking by faith, that faith is going to be rewarded. It is normative for the believer to know the love of God, both objectively and subjectively. And we see this in Paul's instruction, Romans chapter 5, where he says, for God has demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, the Messiah died for us. So there's an objective demonstration of the love of God. But earlier in that chapter, speaking about difficulties and trials and as to how hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. And that is, as best as I can ascertain, Paul is speaking right there about the normative experience of every believer to have the love of God shed abroad in their hearts, to know this love, which and Paul writing in Ephesians says, surpasses knowledge. Now, sometimes people need help in being able to rightly interpret what it is that they're experiencing. A person prays to receive the Lord and they feel peace or they feel joy. And we have to say, listen, that's a person that you're experiencing. That's a person who is giving you peace. That's a person who is giving you joy. It's not just peace. It's not just joy.
Got it. So it's the experience with the person that produces the feeling, the reality of peace and joy. And ultimately, we walk by faith. God is real. God is true. And by his grace, experiences confirming that will often come. Got an interesting question when we come back.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking with Pastor David Harwood, author of the book God's True Love. There's another colleague who's been in the studio, and we've been waiting for him to join in, and now is the moment he's going to do it. Another dear friend, Pastor Robin McMillan, who pastors right here in the greater Charlotte area. He's had a great ministry to folks in the arts and creative people for years now. He's raised up a church. 866-34-TRUTH if you have a question for either of these esteemed guests, David Harwood or Robin McMillan. I want to get, David, in a moment to a question about Israel and how God's promises to Israel tie in with this larger subject of the love of God. But Robin, you have experienced, sometimes through interpersonal relationships, revelation, insight about God's love, or God has used that to speak to you directly. How is that so? Because ultimately, we have to believe what's right, we have to act on it, we have to do what's right, period. And we demonstrate our love for God often by simply doing what's right by faith. But God is a God who delights in touching us and making his love real to us. So what's happened that you can share with our listeners?
Well, it's absolutely essential to have a vital connection with the scriptures. David, both of you have really emphasized that here today. And also the emphasis comes in about the Holy Spirit's interaction with us. And one of the things I've done over the years, I've been saved like 43 years now, long, long time. And I have spent times where I've just asked the Lord to reveal to me this love. I want an encounter with you. I love the verses. I love the scripture. They mean so much. But Holy Spirit, show me, teach me, help me here. And early one morning, for instance, early one morning as I was waking up, I had some thoughts from the Lord. I felt like it was distinctly something from the Lord, not audible voices, nothing like that, but the Lord was communicating, and this is what he was saying to me. He was saying, Robin, each one of my children are my own personal favorite.
Mm.
And that gripped my heart, but something gripped it even more. Then the thought I got, and I've really discerned this was from the Lord, the thought I got after that was, but very few know it. Mm. Very few know it. What would your day be like if you could see the heart of God and his viewpoint of you as you being his favorite child? Now, you know, I don't have that capacity. I don't have the capacity to make everybody my favorite. But we're not talking about a human love. We're talking about a supernatural God who has unlimited capacities, who has the capacity to treat each individual person in a way that makes them know how personally special they are to him.
And you know, Robin, I think we were talking about grandkids earlier in the program, the first half hour, and certainly with our own children, it can be like this. But you take a delight in each one that right. In a very real way, they're each your favorite. And you can, and there's no favoritism because it's not rejecting another, but they're so special to you
right.
That you feel like that you're my favorite for this and you're my favorite for this.
That's right.
Now, Nancy was meditating a few months back on the subject of the struggles we have in this world. Now, we look at it often from our point, this is our time to grow in faith. This is our time to grow in character. This is, you know, for us, we're going through testing and so on, so that forever we can be a certain type of person having passed through this, or learned certain truths about God. But she said that this time, and I may not do it full justice, but she said that from God's perspective, this is a special time to him. In other words, that he really values this time and relates to us a certain
That's
way
good.
That he'll never right. get to do this again forever. It's
wow.
just during this time
That's amazing.
That he relates to us and can relate to us during our struggles, during these faith tests. So I think that ties in though with what you're saying about how he looks at us, Robin. What would
yes.
you say to that?
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's an amazing thought process to know that a current experience you're having with God will never come back. It's unique, and it should be valued. That the eternal God, who is not really outside of time. That's a little bit of a theological issue, but the eternal God treasures moments with us.
When we're struggling, when we're hurting, when we're trying to hold on.
I believe personally, my thought process is it's the love of God that sort of pulls you into maturity, pulls you into more of the character of God. You start, it's almost like you start at the end. You don't get into this Christian life to become loved. You don't get into this Christian life to become valued. You start having been valued so much by God that he offered his own son to give you that place, to give you that place. And so he has this distinct character about him that it's like you begin at the end. You begin at what most people are after. But until you see that, you're under this, particularly religious people, you're under this pressure of performance as though your performance would somehow gain for you something you should know you already received by grace through faith.
I remember, Robin, as a fairly new believer, hearing an evangelist preach on the crucifixion. He preached from Luke's gospel, the words, "There they crucified him." And he started with Jerusalem and then "they." And anyway, when he got to describing the crucifixion in detail, he got to talking about the agony of Jesus on the cross, I became overwhelmed. And it was a spiritual thing, because you can just talk about it, but it was a spiritual reality. And I began to say, "No, God, I'm not worthy. Don't do, stop, stop, please, don't die. I'm not worthy." But that's the starting point.
That's it. I've had another encounter in the night 8 or 9 years ago, and this was prior to the Passion of the Christ movie, which gave you a visual of the sufferings of Jesus. But I would wake up at 4 a.m. for a period of time, and I'd be praying. And one of the things I began to pray, and this is sort of a strange thing, but it's not, I would be telling the Lord, "Lord, I'm so sorry about the way you were treated. Jesus, I'm so sorry about the way you were treated when you were here. You were not loved. You were not treated well at all," obviously. It wasn't according to the scripture and according to what we know. And as I was saying that to him, suddenly I had a vision of the scourging of Jesus. And what I saw, Dr. Brown, what I saw, David, I saw Jesus having been tied to some kind of an iron ring that was either in a column or in a wall, and I saw them hit him repeatedly with the cat of nine tails. And when they hit him, Dr. Brown, when they hit him, he would leap off of his feet like some kind of a tormented beast. And I was undone by having seen that. And I was so undone, I couldn't even ask Jesus questions about it for several days. But what I finally realized, I said, "Lord, why would you show me yourself in that terrible, terrible situation, or at least some kind of a visualization of it?" Well, Dr. Brown, it's because he loves me. He wanted me to see just a small part of what he had gone through. And his back did not become striped like with 40 stripes, and people teach some things like that. And that could be accurate. It might not be. I don't know. But what I saw by the time they finished was one open wound, so amazingly hideous that I was just completely undone. I was speechless like for 2 or 3 days. And for preachers, that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the fact is, it's a picture of the hideous nature of our sin. It's a public display of that. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us. And that's the starting point. Now we're called to walk worthy of it, but we never earn it. We never earn it. All right, David, we got a few calls I want to try to get to. And quick question. We just got a minute before the break. But thanks for sharing that, Robin. That's very intense. And then, of course, the spiritual sufferings are greater than the natural. That's short circuits our fuses when we hear this. But, David, in short, when we look back at Israel, Old Testament Israel, do we get a revelation of God's love and covenant-keeping promises that's relevant for us as believers today? Just a snippet of an answer, then we'll come back.
I would say absolutely, and that it is the pattern for his love for all of humanity, which has been manifest in Jesus.
And that our forefathers, children of Israel, they weren't always so good.
He says, the apple of my eye.
Yeah, so whoever touches him touches the apple of my eye. And yet, that was in the midst of sin.
Right.
There's something about God's covenant of love, right? We'll try to explore that a little bit more. And friends, wherever you find yourself now, whatever trial, struggle you're going through, recognize that there's something precious interacting between you and God that will never happen again, and that he is deeply interested in, focused on, enjoying, experiencing, carrying the pain of it together with you. Together with you. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
See, I said I could not give the insight Nancy got full justice the way I was conveying it. I can read her exact words to you. That God treasures just the fact that he can relate to us in our human frame. He will never be able to relate to us like this again. It's not just being with us while we go through experiences, pain we go through, but he thinks there is something very special about the way we are now, and we will never be like this after we die. So God only gets one chance to relate to us this way, and he treasures this time in history. I mean, that's an extraordinary thing to think about, and I know for me, that affects the way I live and go through things, and that sense of how God is relating to me in this unique season that is only here during this world. That's why this world is so important, friends, because of eternity. Turn it around. That's why this world is so important, and this is why we must seize this moment that we have in our frailty, not just be longing for the end of suffering and the glorification of Jesus and our resurrected bodies. Of course, we long for that because of the pain of this world. But we seize this unique moment in our relationship with God, and he seizes it in his relationship with us. That's why it's better to quote from the source when the source has so much insight. David, we look at the history of Israel. We see the failings of our people. We see the sufferings of our people because of our failings, discipline, scattering, exile, judgment. And yet, when God made his promise to Abram in Genesis 15, God passed through the pieces, the sacrificial pieces alone. It was a one-way covenant that God was saying, I'm going to do this no matter what. Paul reiterates that in Romans 11 because of his love for the patriarchs. What does that tell me now? I can look at Israel. I can look at Israelite history. This is not just abstract. I can look at this. What does this tell me now as a son of the Father?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I think that that there is a certain degree of incredible assurance that comes into the life of a believer when the believer is convinced that God will fulfill all of his promises to Israel and the Jewish people. Because if he is going to fulfill his promises to the Jewish people pertaining to, like what Peter said, everything which the prophets have spoken from time past, I mean, these prophets speaking of restoration, these prophets speaking of a time of what Paul ends up saying, like restoration that will be like life from the dead. If God is going to pursue our people, Michael, to such a degree that ultimately towards the end of the age, there will be a reconciliation of the entire Jewish people to God through the Messiah, what type of confidence can that give to a person who is also going through difficulties, trials, wondering, will God be faithful to me? Will God be faithful to my family? Look at how I've messed up. Whoa, I'm not worthy of God's faithfulness. But you see, if we begin to see ourselves as being loved just as Israel, priestly and prophetic pattern people, are and were loved, we can just put ourselves right into that and say, he's going to be faithful to me. And at the end of all of either his dealings or my experiences, it's going to be the equivalent of life from the dead.
Mm. Tremendous. There's a whole lot to think about. And in your book, God's True Love, Israel plays a role in that as well, as you look at the promises and look at what God has spoken. Again, David Harwood's book, God's True Love. Let's see if I can just grab a quick call or two before we're out of time. Charles in Atlanta, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello, Charles. All right, well, John 14:21 was a verse Charles had raised. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest my love to him. Is that saying that God's love for us is conditional, David?
Well, I would rather take a look at something else in that verse, which is that every single time that a person is aware of God's reality, aware of the presence of the Spirit, whenever that individual is made aware of a reality behind the Word of God, that is God's self-disclosure to them. And in that section of Scripture, we have the motive for God's self-disclosure to that person. He is the one who loves me, he says, but and I too will love him and will disclose myself to him. So rather than chasing our tail and trying to find a place of uttermost obedience that would warrant God's self-revelation, let's go back to the gospel where he has revealed himself to us. Let's key into the presence of the Spirit in our life and recognize that the only reason that we're aware of God at all is because God is disclosing himself to us. And the only reason that God is disclosing himself to us, according to the words of the Messiah Jesus, is because he loves us.
All right, and because of that, then, we keep the commandments of God. That's our foundational motivation.
Absolutely.
And, David, 30 seconds, just another caller. We don't have time to bring him on. When Jesus says he'll send another comforter, counselor, the Holy Spirit, how does that tie in with the love of God? Is this just some functional thing to empower us, or is this an expression of God's love as well?
No, the Holy Spirit loves the Father. The Holy Spirit loves the Messiah, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit loves us, and the Holy Spirit loves taking the things of Messiah, Jesus, and disclosing them to us. This is an aspect. I mean, the Holy Spirit is not here like he's under some sort of, you know, like he's not being punished. This isn't jail for him. He wanted to come here. He has the same desire to be with us as Jesus has the desire for his bride to be with him.
Mm. Yeah, and you bring in the imagery of the bride. That's a whole other subject. Friends,
yes.
Get the book, God's True Love. You can order it on Amazon.com, or you can ask for it in your Christian bookstore. If they don't have it, ask them why. How could they not have a book on God's true love? It's one thing if they don't want to cover or carry a queer thing happened to America. They're a little afraid to put that out in their Christian bookstore, which they should have that anyway. But God's true love, come on. You got to be kidding me. All right, friends, great opportunity to stand with us and to be blessed yourselves. Two of the most important teaching series I've ever done, one on foundations of prayer, one on foundations of intercession, 24 hours total on two CDs to listen to on your computer or to put on your MP3 player. They're normally $40 plus postage for the two CDs. This week, just $15, postage paid. So we're almost giving them to you at that lower price. $15, postage paid. Any additional gift beyond that that you can help us with will be multiplied by a donor this week as we still have someone standing with us multiplying your gifts as we reach some meet some critical needs in our ministry and in our expansion to do this work through radio. 1-800-278-9978. $15 postage paid instead of $40 plus postage. Foundations of prayer, foundations of intercession. Practical, eye-opening, biblically based, inspiring teaching. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or just go online, ask Dr. Brown. org. Click on the online bookstore to order. David, Robin, thanks, guys, for being with us.
Privilege.
A joy to have you. All right, my bottom line, there is nothing more important in your life than knowing the love of God. Go before him. Meditate on his word. Ask him to open your heart and mind, and as his love is revealed to you through Jesus, he has made you worthy. Walk it out for his glory.